follow Jesus is to live a life without storms, right? If that's what you thought, I am sorry to say that you're wrong. Life, this life, comes with storms for all people, also for disciples. So read with me. We're going to read in Matthew chapter 14. We're going to read verses 22 to 23, and then I'll do verse 24, and then verse 25 to 33 a little later. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. Sorry, this is just after feeding the crowd. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. So they find themselves, the disciples, in the middle of a storm. Here's the thing. Many of the storms in our lives we create ourselves. I drink too much. I don't mean me. That's a general eye. I might be in front of presbytery next week after that one. Let's try it again. Many of the storms in life we create for ourselves, we drink too much. I borrow too much money that I can't repay. I hang out with the wrong crowd. That's not the case with the disciples right here. They find themselves in the middle of the storm by being obedient. And it's kind of like, really? Did you read that first verse properly with me, verse 22? Do you want to go back to that, Ted? Read it again. Immediately, Jesus, see the word, made them get into the boat. He didn't tell them. Greek word for tell is different. He didn't ask them. Greek word for ask is different. The Greek word he uses here is a horrible word, anakatso. Even to say it is horrible. Let me start with a more gentle meaning of that. It means to compel or to insist. Without saying a chance to say no. The real meaning is to force someone to do something. Immediately, Jesus made them get into the boat. So they find themselves in the middle of a storm by being obedient. How does that work? Right? We're going to unpack that a little bit this morning. Hold that, because that's where we're going to go. They're not Jonah jumping on a boat, running away, trying to get away from God. They're in the middle of the storm because Jesus said, get in the boat. And they said, good, we'll do that. Can I give you a modern day example of that? It's the missionaries who are faithful and go to where God sends them just to find that those who had to take care of them couldn't do that anymore. And they run out of their funds. It's the student who studies really, really hard, puts all their effort into their studies, and finds out that they didn't make it. It's the Christian business person or businessman who does everything honestly, only to find that every time he's outbid by his dishonest competitors. This life comes with storms, my friends, even when we are faithful. Sometimes those storms pack a real punch. Ask the disciples. We read, they get onto this little boat, and some of you have been there, Horsty, you guys have been with. You remember the boat that they had there at the Sea of Galilee? It's not this huge, humongous, big fishing boat. It's a wee little boat with a little sail and a few oars that you can get around with. It's not huge. So they're onto this place called Sea of Galilee, and they're riding a roller coaster. Because if you've ever seen a storm on the Sea of Galilee, it's kind of surrounded by mountains. And when the storm comes down, it is not fun. I was there once during Purim and saw that storm. Not a fun place to be. So they're being buffeted all around by the storm. John in chapter 6 tells us a little more about the story. John says, when they got onto the boat, it was evening, and by 6 o'clock the following morning, they had still not reached land, and the distance that they had to travel was only 8 kilometers, 5 miles. On a regular day, it would take them less than an hour. But here's what I want you to notice. In the middle of this storm that's threatening their life, they don't give up. They don't stop rowing. They don't turn back. They keep going in the storm. Jesus said, go, and they go. Here's the thing. I think if we could get on that boat in that moment with them and we would see their faces, we would see the fear in their eyes. I think if we looked at them, we would see the despair in that moment. And maybe if we listened carefully, we might even have heard one of those disciples say, now where is Jesus in all of this? I know the text doesn't say that. But somehow in my heart, knowing people, I have an idea. Maybe one or two might have said, no, where's Jesus at? Isn't that what we do? When I land in that storm, and that storm is hard, and it feels to overwhelm me, what's the first thing I say? Where's Jesus? I'm faithful. Where's Jesus? Why me? Why in the storm? Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus when those waves come at me, and I feel like I'm not going to make it? They're overwhelming me. Where's Jesus when the wind of this world is so stiff against me that I feel I'm never going to get through this? Where's Jesus when the darkness of my fear just surrounds me and overwhelms me? Where's Jesus when I'm desperate and I feel that it's just too much? Where's Jesus? Text gives an answer. Verse 23. He went up to the mountain to have a drink, relax in a hotel room. He went up on the mountain to pray. Don't make the mistake to think the storm was only on the sea. It was on that mountain as well. And maybe that's why he's praying for the storm. Because could it be that the reason for the prayer is exactly that storm that they are in? Could it be that this storm on the Sea of Galilee could be a symbol of the storms that we have to face in our lives? Could it be that the image of these disciples that are being thrown around upside down all over in this small little boat could be an image of what happens to us when the storms of life come into our own lives as well? Could it be that the meaning of the storm amongst all of the others could be to tell us exactly where Jesus is when we find ourselves in the midst of our storm? Where's Jesus? He's praying for you. Standing in the presence of our Father, and the Son of God. He's praying for you. He's saying, Lord, Peter's going through a tough time. And the storms are heavy. He's not going to get out of the storm pretty soon. But will you take care of him? He's praying. Please, Lord, don't let Chad fail. Please, Lord, don't let Aubrey quit. Please, Lord, don't let Alexander despair. He's praying for you. In that storm, he's not absent. You don't fight the waves alone. You don't stand against that wind alone. You have one who's praying. No, there's two actually who's praying for you. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, stands there. And right next to the Lord Jesus stands the Holy Spirit of God, your advocate. And they are praying for you and lifting you up, saying, Lord, give them power from above to get through the storm, because alone they can't do it, because we can't. Lord, give Mary the strength that she will need when she goes for that really, really difficult interview. Lord, empower Ted and give him the wisdom to be a godly father in a really difficult household. Father, put the devil in his place when he's robbing Allison of the sleep that she so needs. Where is Jesus? The disciples might have asked. Where is Jesus? The struggling, the isolated, the lonely, the overwhelmed, the overstressed might ask, where is Jesus? He's praying for you. We might want to know every answer. What does the future hold? I don't know. We might want to know, what's at the end of the road? I don't know. We want to know, is everything going to be okay? I don't know. When is the storm going to end? I don't know. But I do know that you're not alone in that storm. Answer a question for me, please. Do you think Jesus' prayers are heard when he prays? Do you think that God acts on those prayers? So why do we think we're alone? Can I give you a beautiful example before we say amen? There was a guy called Peter, not our Peter. He was in the Bible. He was a disciple. In Luke chapter 22, they just had the Last Supper, and Judas is gone, and Peter's kind of, well, I'm going to do all of this stuff. I'm going to be okay. And Jesus says, come here. Let me tell you something. You're going to go through one of the most difficult storms of your whole life, Peter. That one on the Sea of Galilee that night, you were rowing for over 8 hours, nothing. You're going to be tested like never before. And what did Jesus say to him? But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. Someone needs to hear that. You're not alone. Because so often, like Peter, we forget to pray. But Jesus doesn't. So often, like Peter, when we're in the middle of that storm, we say, I don't know who he is. But Jesus continues to be faithful. So often in that storm, we feel so, does God really care about me? Am I worthy? And Jesus says, I died for you. I gave you my life. What do you think? I love you. He's praying for you every moment that you will not fail, that you will not quit, that you will not give up. Not because you're so strong, not because you're so amazing, because you're his child and he loves you. Will you please hear that as we go through these storms? Because we're sitting in this place, each one of us, and if I ask you if you've ever been in a storm, your arm's going to go up so fast it's not even funny. We've all been there, and we're all going to be there again. He doesn't take the storm away for Peter. He doesn't make light of the storm. He doesn't say, ah, Peter, don't worry, it's going to be okay. He says, Peter, it's not going to be okay. I'm going to pray so hard for you that your faith does not fail. That's how tough it's going to be. But I'm going to pray for you. And you're going to be strong because I'm going to be there. Let me end. Not only does he pray for us in the storm. Now let's go to verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it's I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, came toward Jesus. But, there's that biblical but, when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And you see what happens in the middle of the storm. Jesus doesn't only pray for us. Jesus becomes the answer to his own prayer. Those waves become the pathway for Jesus to walk right into my storm and into my life. And the moment Jesus walks into my storm, even those waves become calm and they become like a glassy sea. Because he's praying for me. Doesn't leave me alone. But did you see the response? And when he got in the boat and that storm stopped, they worshiped him. I wish I could tell you that there are going to be no more storms in your life, but that would be a lie. I wish I could say to you that when they come, they're going to be over just like this. I can't say that. That would be a lie. But I can say this to you. When the storm comes, I know who's praying for you. And when the storm comes, I know who's going to come walking through those waves right into your life. And I pray in that moment that as you look up and you see the Son of God standing there with you, that you will do exactly what the disciples did. And worship him in the midst of the storm. Jesus prays for you. Amen. Lord, we wish we could turn this all around and start at the beginning and say, to live life with Jesus is to live a life without storms. And that would be so cool. But we know it's not this life. But thank you that we do not live life without you. You are there. And you walk with us. And you are so faithful. We can all attest to that. How you have been faithful, Lord, even when it felt like this is just too much. This is just too long. I just can't do that. And you were there saying, come on, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. And you walked us through. Thank you that we may trust you. Thank you for coming in the midst of the storm and putting your arm around us and helping us weather the storm together. Thank you for caring about us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. That's that advocate, that arm, that friend that walks beside us and puts arm around us and just helps us to get to the other side. Help us to pray for each other as we go through our own storms. Thank you for the gift of being able to do that. Thank you that we may hold hands and care. That's why we are a body of Jesus Christ. Where we're unperfect, imperfect, but loved. Where we mess up, but we're picked up and we're carried. Because of you. Thank you for praying for us. In your precious name we ask. Amen.